If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us for coffee. And to Canadian sports fans around the world, it's a very big day in the program today, the Rod Peterson Show. One of the biggest names in the sport of football, Warren Moon, is going to be joining us live coming up in moments, actually, here in segment one from Seattle, Washington, or at least that's the plan. So I just want to tell you to get ready, batten down the hatches. It's a very big day. On episode number 241 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. I'm the host, Rod. He is the co-host, Darren. How are you, Dupes?
I'm doing well. You?
Good. Lots of folks chiming in this morning from all across the land. Very excited to hear from Warren Moon. And you realize he's starred in the Canadian Football League before many of you were born. When you're a guy that transcends every age group, every demographic, that's really saying something. And as we pointed out yesterday, he's the first Pro Football Hall of Famer. I'm talking Canton, Ohio, that we've ever had on the show.
Yeah.
It's a red letter day today.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And to go from, you know, the CFL to the NFL and have success, that's not unheard of. That happens often. But to be as big as he is in both countries, and as you said, every age demographic knows who Warren Moon is. They know. They're excited. That's a big deal.
One of the biggest names in the sport of football going to be with us today. And I the reason I'm pointing it out now is he's scheduled to join us near the tail end of segment one, and I don't want to spend, you know, while he's on the line running through his resume for you people that don't know who he is. So I'll just say this from his Wikipedia. 9-time Pro Bowler in the National Football League, NFL Offensive Player of the Year in 1990, AFC Player of the Year in 1990, NFL Man of the Year in 1989, won 5 Grey Cups in a row. It still makes no sense, really, with the Edmonton Eskimos, 78 to 82. I know a lot of you know it, but a lot of you don't. So he actually came to Canada because he was undrafted in the NFL as a quarterback, came to Canada's agent, of course, is the guy that Jerry Maguire was patterned after, the great Lee Steinberg. Said, you should go to Canada. Make it up there. Make your name. And that's exactly what he did. Came down to the NFL and then spent, you know, over a decade with the Houston Oilers. Then significant time with the Minnesota Vikings. Then the Seahawks. And then the Kansas City Chiefs. Went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Went into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. And also was here just a couple of years ago for Mark's CFL Week. Gives back. Mentors young quarterbacks. Just an all-around good guy. So Connor's writing in from Yorkton, one of our young viewers. He's a teen. Connor says, never heard of him. Connor, that... Can you put the camera here? Connor, that's a you problem, not an us problem, and definitely not a Warren Moon problem. So that's the point of why I'm going through this right now. Google it. Pull your head out of your arse and get ready for one of the biggest interviews that we've ever had here. And beyond that, Nick Lewis and Rob Fry will be on the program today, too.
No small tickets either.
No, yeah, there's no Rudy Poos. Not at all. So this is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. And again, coming up shortly, Warren Moon will be with us. But are you ready for the quick 6 show topics that we do every day?
Yeah.
We're going to fly through this, and we might have to interrupt it when Mr. Moon joins us. But number one, you saw the Major League Baseball players basically rejecting the proposal from the owners, their return to play. We're going to cover more of this later on when I update it in the sports update. I'll say this, Major League Baseball players going to take, based on the proposal they got yesterday, a 47% to 77% pay cut. And if you're a Mike Trout or some of the highest paid guys in the game, you'll take the biggest pay cut, up to 77%. And the players called it extremely disappointing. My question to you is this, because this is what the ESPN pundits are saying. Major League Baseball is ready to literally fade away. It's been falling in the hierarchy of sports, NFL, NBA, it used to be number one. It might fade right off the face of the earth. The lockouts, the strikes over the years have really turned fans off baseball, and now this could finish them. Do you think it would?
It really could.
It's going to hurt them for sure.
Salaries have remained high. They've been able to make money, but it's not sustainable in the current model that they have. I mean, baseball is the one sport that hasn't adapted. they haven't grown. Nothing's really significantly changed, and it's America's pastime. And much like, you know, golf, it's about the tradition of the game, but now you see golf evolving. Don't have to take the flag stick out. The drop rules have changed. They're making it more friendly. Baseball isn't anything. There's still, you know, 3 hours plus, some games over 4 hours long, still nine innings. They haven't really adjusted to reach today's demographic, today's younger audience, where hockey, football, basketball, they've all done that. This would be a big blow if those other leagues come back and baseball doesn't, because the players and the owners can't agree on a number. It's not good for baseball.
By the way, as we move on, Connor has written back and said, hey, take it easy on me, Rod. I'm just a teen. LOL. Being a teen is no excuse for being uneducated of history. Am I right?
I'm with you.
Point two. How will the Stanley Cup playoffs be different when they are played? And it sounds like they're going to be played. Reason being, watching Get Up this morning on ESPN, they're saying with the NBA playoffs, older veteran teams will have the edge in the NBA playoffs. And remember, that's a 16 team. They're not changing much other than playing in a quarantine city. The NFL's or the NHL's way off the board with the play-in, best of five round, that kind of thing. My initial thinking is that the younger teams would be better off.
I don't know,
but it's going to bear some thinking here.
I just don't think the legs are going to be as big of a factor after an 82-game season, and they say the Stanley Cup, one of the hardest, if not the hardest, to win in sports, because you got that grueling, you know, four rounds of playoffs that you got to get to, and potentially seven games. Without playing 82 games, with having a couple of months off, I think that does favor the veterans, because the legs aren't going to be a factor. You're not going to be worried about tired legs. That's where they'd have an edge, but I don't know if it's going to be a veteran versus young player thing, because it's a young player's game right now of 20 to 25. That seems like the prime of your career.
I would think they'd be favored. I got to think about this. It's an interesting point.
It is.
People chiming in on our baseball comment. Are they in danger of sliding right off, you know, out of sight, out of mind, if they don't come back playing? Brian Snow's watching in Terre Haute, Indiana. And he says, growing up a baseball fan, Major League Baseball is in the dirt. Baseball was my number two sport for me growing up behind hockey, and I don't really watch it at all anymore. I'm not sure why. I guess I became an adrenaline junkie. I had more UFC tugging for my attention, NLL tugging for my attention. So I went that way, and I liked it. Mm-hmm. Baseball's just kind of sat back and not evolved. That's what I see. Point three, am I missing something about CFL teams being cleared to resume practicing? Am I missing something? I think it's more just a statement by the governments, right? Your facilities are open. You're welcome to come back and practice, guys. Were you not aware the training camps are postponed? It's a tug of war of information, really.
Right. If the training camp's postponed, there is no going back to work. There is no going to the facility. So all of that is regulated. The hours you're allowed to spend there during camp and the hours that players can report. So just because the government opened up a couple of facilities doesn't mean that they're going back to practice.
This feels like a red tape bureaucratic thing that, okay, guys, facilities are open, Bombers specifically. You can come in and start practicing now.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Mr. Premier, haven't you heard training camps are suspended because of what the Prime Minister said? It seems a little confusing.
It is.
Okay, it's not just me then.
No.
Okay. Point four, I was watching TSN last night, of course, SportsCenter, which I refer to as the news. So I'm watching the news last night, and Gino Retta says it'll be 3 to 4 weeks before we hear more NHL news, just so you know. So this 2014 playoff scenario was a significant bone thrown to everybody, but we're not going to hear anything for quite some time.
And we have to be open to that changing. In a week from now or 2 weeks from now or when we hear some more information, we have to be okay with everything changing because the whole circumstances of it might change. But it was really exciting to hear the news. I'm driving in the car and I'm sitting there being like, man, I just wish I could watch some hockey tonight. Now I'm really excited. But then you have to think, no, this is like you said, beginning of August is probably as early as we're thinking here.
J.R. Rowley's watching in Cranbrook, B.C., and he says, it's up to the provinces, Rod. Oh, I understand that, and that's who's making the statements. But I was very clear. It specifically said players can return to practice. That's all that I'm saying. And it's like, they aren't practicing. It's just the wording. I understand that it's a red tape thing, barrier that they got to get over, but they're not practicing, is the point that I'm trying to make. More on the NFL Power Index. We may we really went over that fast yesterday because people were just starting to write in saying, where's my team on the power index? What's it say for the Seahawks? What's it say for my, you know, whatevers? The New York Jets was one people were writing in. So later on, we'll spend some time on the NFL power index and answer the questions as to what your teams are. Point six, Lance Armstrong, the 30 for 30. So last night, I'm home alone. The most raucous storm hit.
Yeah.
Frankly, in a couple years, I feel, it blew our front door open and blew a pizza box open.
Whoa.
And leaves all across the kitchen floor. I'm not joking. And it got, I got it all cleaned up before the missus came home. That aside, I'm watching the Lance Armstrong documentary last night. And listen, I'm not the biggest cycling fan, but I'm a fan of greatness and I'm a fan of interesting stories and I'm a fan of the 90s. So I put it on. It was on TSN and I'm thinking, what the hell else do I have to watch right now? So I'm going to watch this Lance Armstrong documentary. You got to watch it.
Yeah.
Are you at all intrigued by it? You must be.
Big time. It was part one of two, right?
Yes.
Two-part 30 for 30.
It was 2 hour long, part one.
I'm super intrigued. Yeah, super interested.
You should watch it.
And it's on the heels of The Last Dance, which has just kind of put a boom into sports documentaries. Everybody wants one now.
Of course.
And here ESPN sitting on the follow-up. Man, did they have this figured out.
Yeah,
they
timing wise.
Do.
No, I think it's lucky timing. They didn't see the pandemic coming.
No.
Hey, guys, let's produce a bunch of documentaries and then have a guy eat a bat in China. It'll be perfect.
Well, yeah, exactly. Maybe ESPN's the one pulling all the strings around here.
That's what I mean. Yeah, no kidding. Garnet's watching in North Battleford. It's nice to see Rod doing housework, raking leaves in the front entrance. Sounds crazy, doesn't it, Garnet? That's what happened. I'm like, you're kidding me. This just happened? It was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Decapitated all my wife's flowers in the backyard.
As fast as it came in?
Gone.
Left just as fast.
So those are the quick six. A lot of topics there as we await Warren Moon joining us. 9-time Pro Bowler, 5-time Grey Cup champion. William Works, Warren Moon's 30 for 30 was awesome to watch. I got to ask Warren, if there was a football life done on him, because I've set my PVR to tape all football lives, and I've gone through every season, and if there is one, my PVR hasn't taped it. They tell me, is the connection good, Clark? All right. I'm going to assume that we're going to Seattle as we bring in Hall of Famer Warren Moon, our first ever Pro Football Hall of Famer, joining us here in the Rod Peterson Show. Mr. Moon, good morning. How are you, sir?
I don't think he can hear you.
And Clark says, let's go. Oh, he can't hear us. He cannot hear us, Clark. Can we work on that? Give us 1 second. My four other favorite words in broadcasting.
That's the alternative.
My four favorite words are, we're working on it. And I just got a, give us 1 second. All right, so Warren Moon will join us shortly. Moving on. Where was the pizza from? Lee Horton wants to know. It was from Boston Pizza, Emerald Park. I went out to support my friend Marco Ricci, fellow Rams alum, my former Rams color commentator. And I've been spreading my pizza love around. If you've been following my Instagram story, you'd know. Vern's Pizza at the Tap. Tower Tap House, Estevan.
Yeah.
Boston Pizza, obviously. Famoso, the restaurant I used to own. A lot of pizza going down in our house. Western Pizza, obviously. Yeah. Houston, we have a problem. says John Ohm, who's up in Winnipeg this morning. Well, as Nelson Hakowicz writes in, Warren is at least looking good. We've established connection with Seattle and Warren Moon. So what's up? Now I got this door opening over here. Is somebody going to peek their head out? No. Okay. While we await connection on Warren Moon, and you tell me if I should go to a commercial, Clark, because we've already got through our quick six show topics. Maybe we should do that. I did an Instagram poll last night from the show account on Instagram for Stanley Cup playoff first round matchups. A poll. You folks decided this, not me. Do you want to know what the results were?
Yeah.
Flames Jets in round one, 51% voted on Winnipeg.
Wow.
That's not shocking that we're right in the middle of the two, where we currently reside in the Bermuda Triangle of hockey.
Yeah.
They're torn on that one. Hell of a series, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Oilers Blackhawks. 75% are predicting a victory by the Oil. And I voted for Edmonton. Nashville, Arizona, 61% say the Predators will win. Vancouver, Minnesota, almost a landslide, 72% voting for Vancouver. Out east, Pittsburgh, Montreal, 74% say the Penguins will roll. Carolina and the New York Rangers, 53% voting for New York. Islanders, Florida, 71% voting for Jordan Eberle's Islanders. I think that might be the Eberle factor because there's so many Eberle fans around here.
Oh, yeah.
And Leafs, Columbus, 60% voting for Toronto, but you're telling me you don't think they'll win.
It'll be a good series. Columbus is still a really good team. They got good coaching. They've got a great back end. It's going to be tough. I like that Toronto doesn't have to face Boston in the first round. That's a nice little reprieve. They might actually get out of the first round here for the first time in a while. But I'm just excited that it's back. I had mentioned yesterday, and I said to you before the show, that the three teams that I think got the raw end of the deal were Edmonton, the Islanders, and the Hurricanes, just because I think that, you know, Florida, the Rangers, and the Blackhawks are all teams who can make some noise. They've all got some stars, and they were all playing pretty well down the stretch.
Okay, the boys tell me that we got him. Let's go back to Seattle and join Warren Moon, and I'll say first that I appreciate his patience hanging in. Mr. Moon, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing up there?
We're doing fantastic. As you can tell, hockey talk, so you know you're on the air in Canada. Warren, I'll first say, what is your situation in Seattle? Because the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, was hit first here with COVID. What's life been like for you in the last 2 months?
Yeah, we were kind of the epicenter of this whole thing as far as the United States was concerned. I think we had one of the first deaths here, and everybody was really looking at our little community up here as we don't get a lot of notoriety way up here in the Pacific Northwest, but because of this epidemic, all of a sudden now we were front and center. But things have really toned down. Our governor has done a great job of trying to keep things in place, making sure everybody's keeping their social distancing, making sure everybody's washing their hands and doing all the different guidelines that everybody else is trying to do. And he's been very, very methodical about how he's opened up our state again as far as allowing different businesses and all that to open up. So it's probably slower than a lot of people want it to happen, but I think he's just trying to be extra careful because we've seen some of the other places that have opened up, they're starting to get some rises in their numbers of cases. So he doesn't want that to happen. But other than that, it's been interesting. You know, I'm a guy that does a lot of my business on the move. I travel a lot. I do a lot of appearances. I do a lot of speaking engagements and different things like that. And because of this pandemic, I haven't been able to move around as much. So I've been pretty much homebound and have really kind of had to, I guess, kind of redefine myself as far as some of the things that I've been doing now.
Yeah, but you are in that go, 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 go world of pro football. So I would assume that you've enjoyed... Have you enjoyed settling in and getting a rest, if anything?
I enjoyed it about a month ago.
Ready to get
now back. I want to get going again. I'm antsy and I want to get out there. You know, I'm a guy that likes to be around people, and this is one thing that this pandemic has done is it has made us less social. You know, we're not able to touch people, we're not able to hug people, we're not able to, you know, be close to people, and that's something that my life has always been. I've always been around people, so it's been tough, but I've made the adjustment.
I'm going to invite our viewers to ask questions, Warren, if that's okay with you, because they always ask the best ones, but I will ask you this. How much are you following the fortunes of the National Football League right now? Because there was not one day that Roger Goodell didn't say we're not playing or we're postponing. They've just said almost business as usual. I know that you're, you know, still doing work with the Seahawks. So are you expecting what they're saying, full stadiums kicking off on time in September?
You know, full stadiums, I'm not sure of, but I think football is going to be played in some way, form, or fashion. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to be produced. But I think you're going to see, you know, 22 guys on the field playing against each other come this fall. Whether there's fans in the stands or not, I'm not sure. But I'm hoping that if everybody continues to keep doing what they're supposed to be doing right now, and if we continue to keep the testing being more improved in that, I think there can be football and can be played on time once September rolls around. I think everybody misses sports in general. I'm sure people up in Canada are dying because there's no hockey right now, and it's the same way down here with no baseball, and the basketball playoffs were kind of discontinued. People love entertainment, and entertainment and sports has always been something that people could get used to get away from when things are going bad. But now that when things are going bad because of this pandemic, you don't even have that to fall back on. So it's been a very, very tough situation for everybody around the world that loves sports, and it'll be great to be able to get it back.
There is, Warren, a common theme coming in from our viewers, and they want to know where you found the fountain of youth. At 63, man, what is your secret?
Just good genes, I guess. My mom and my dad. And I try and take really good care of myself. I try and eat right. I've always been a health freak growing up. Not so much health in like a Tom Brady health where I eat avocado ice cream and things like that, but always have been conscious of the things I put in my body, always making sure I'm drinking a lot of water. And growing up in a house where you have, you know, seven women, I had six sisters and my mom and no dad. I always took care of myself as far as my skin and all the different things that women do to take care of themselves. I followed suit because that's all I knew. So I've always taken pretty good care of myself health-wise.
Good stuff. So, hey, I don't think I could ask you any questions you haven't already gotten over the course of your career. But the one that sticks out to me that's nagging me is, of your five Grey Cups with the Eskimos, which one maybe meant the most or was the toughest to win? You spend much time thinking about that?
You know, I really haven't, but I think they're all special for different reasons. Of course, the first one that I won after Wilkie retired was a very important one because the team was kind of mine now to lead on my own, where me and Wilkie had been there together and it won those first couple. And now all of a sudden I'm on my own and I have to, you know, win one without him being there. And could that be done? And we got down, I remember, in the Western Final early in that ball game and had to come back and win that game and to go on to the Grey Cup and win it. And that was a very emotional Western Final for me because, again, I knew that all that pressure was on my shoulders to keep this streak going. And we finally got it done. And then I think the one we played when me and Wilkie were both there in Montreal, where we were down, I think 21 or 20-0 at halftime or something like that. And we came back and won that game. So those two are very special because, you know, one, we had to come back and win it. And the other one was because it was basically my team to either win it or lose it.
Man, we got some good ones coming in here. Randolph wants to know, Warren, on election to the Canadian Football and Pro Football Halls of Fame, was the thrill the same or different? What a great question to be able to answer, by the way. Can you explain the feelings between the two?
Yeah, they came about 5 years apart. I think I went into Canada's Hall of Fame in 01 and then 06 in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they were both exciting because you're considered to be one of the best to ever play that game in your sport. And it doesn't matter where it happens. It doesn't matter when it happens. It is an extreme honor and you don't expect it. And I really didn't expect it as much in the Canadian Football League as I did maybe in the NFL because I didn't play that long in the Canadian Football League. But I guess I played long enough to make an impact. And I was even probably more surprised and excited that I was inducted in Canada because, like I said, my career was only 6 years.
One of the questions that slipped off the screen here, I got to go by memory, but from Jeff Hay, is one of our staff members here, wants to know, Warren, your take on the importance of the CFL in the landscape of pro football on the continent. It's a great question because I'm sure you're aware of the CFL is in some serious trouble here right now. If there were no CFL, what would it mean to pro football in North America?
You know, it'd be a huge loss because I love the CFL game, first of all, and a lot of the rules that have been adapted by the NFL and other leagues come off of what has happened up in the CFL. I remember when Oliver Luck, who was the commissioner of the XFL that just ended up folding, He called me about a lot of the rules that we used in Canada when I was playing up there, because they love the way the game is played up there. It's a fast-paced game. There's so many different ways to score in that. And then it's another opportunity for young players to get a chance to play football. There's only so many spots available to play down in the United States in the National Football League. But the Canadian Football League gives players from the United States a chance to go somewhere else and play. And then there's a lot of Canadian Football League players who've played their careers up there that want to play professional football as well. And it gives them an opportunity. So I think the more job opportunities that a league can provide for players, that's the most important thing. And then the fans tend to love it because it's more entertainment for them. So I think everybody wins all the way around. And if the CFL is not around, I think everybody loses.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine where you'd be without no CFL? And I think that's why you give back as much as you do. You were here for Mark CFL Week in Regina, got a chance to meet you there. Keith Price always told me about you mentoring him coming to the CFL. You have gone out of your way to give back to the CFL.
Well, you know, I owe so much to the league and to the country, first of all, because you guys gave me a chance to play professional football when my own country wasn't going to do that. And if I didn't have that opportunity, who knows what would have happened to my career, because I probably wouldn't have played in the NFL at another position. And if the Canadian Football League wasn't around, I probably would have gone on and just finished law school and become a lawyer. I would have never played football again. So I owe so much to the fans up there, to the league itself, to Hugh Campbell for seeing something in me that a lot of other people didn't see in me. And then I've just met some great people in Canada. Some of my closest friends are still there. My first son was born in that country. So I have a lot of great memories about being there. And then, of course, all the winning. When you win five straight championships in a professional sport, that is something that not many people have been able to do, and nobody's done it since we did it. So it's a very, very special time in my life.
Well, I think I could confidently say it'll never be done again. When you left the CFL, you must have thought this will never be done again. Shoot, we haven't had a back-to-back winner in a decade. And a lot of that has to do with a salary cap, by the way, Warner. Hey, we all know how Hugh Campbell is an absolute genius with roster construction and personnel identification. But could you see it happening again?
You know, I really can. It's just hard to keep a group together that long in this day and age because of free agency, because of injuries, because of, you know, the guys wanting more money on salaries. You got to remember, when a team wins a championship, everybody thinks they're the reason why they want it. So everybody wants more money. So everybody's looking to cash in off of that, and that's what breaks up a lot of teams. And then you got to remember, even if you're able to bring that team back together the next year, you're getting everybody's best effort to try and knock you off. And that's something we always had to face during our five cups, was everywhere we went around the country, everybody was ecstatic about beating us, about knocking us off. So we always had to be on top of our game. And that's something that's tough to do over a period of 5 years.
You know, you made a great point there about how guys want a raise coming off a championship. I'll see that and raise you one. Every player wants a raise, period, after every season now. And with this mentor, yeah, well, this mentorship you do of young players, of which I know you still do, because the players tell me, you must have seen a difference in their attitude over the last generation or so.
Yeah, I think guys have a lot more information now, especially financially, about how to take care of their money. I think guys are making more money today than they did back in the day. So you have an opportunity to gain wealth and to take advantage of that wealth. And you also have more knowledge about how to not let people take advantage of you. So I think you should see more guys be able to leave the game, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, or whatever it is, with more money put away if they're smart about what they do with their money because of the amount of money that they're making right now. And that's what I try and tell guys. Use the sport as much as you possibly can for the short period of time that you might be in it. Create relationships while you're in it, because those relationships are going to help you when you're done playing the sport. Because you got to remember, if you have a 10-year career, you're going to be, 30, 32 years old when you get done, depending on when you start. And what are you going to do with the rest of those working years left in your life? So use the sport as a stepping stone for the rest of your life by putting your money away and saving it. That way you can make decisions on what you want to do with the next phase of your life. And then you'll have a better understanding of what you want to do with that second phase.
good for you, by the way, for doing that, because not enough people are, and the players, they're just so lost with this information. Do you have a few minutes to answer a few more questions, Warren?
Sure.
You're good? Okay. One, there's a few questions that have come in, or a couple of people have asked the same thing. Who was your favorite receiver in Edmonton?
Ooh, you're going to get some guys mad at me if I say that. I mean, that's one of the – I was blessed with a great group of receivers every year that I was there. And they all had different styles. They all had different – what's the word I'm looking for?
Attributes?
Everybody had a little bit different responsibility within our offense. So, you know, you had a Tommy Scott who was more of my, you know, third down guy who would come up with the big catch for first downs. You had Waddell Smith who was a speed guy. You had Brian Kelly who had a million different moves but always could beat guys on double moves and different things like that. So everybody was a little bit different. But I think the guy I had the best chemistry with probably was Brian Kelly, because we worked a lot together in the off season. He lived down here in Seattle where I was. So we spent a lot of time together. So he was probably the guy I had the most chemistry with.
I forgot, Warren. I think your manager said you have to go. Is that the case? Have you got another appointment on the line?
I do, but I have a couple of more minutes.
Okay, from Dave Spatafora wants to know, where was your favorite CFL road city? And let's just talk about a road stadium. What was your favorite stadium to play in Canada?
Favorite stadium? Probably Commonwealth.
Of course. Taj Mahal.
Everywhere else we went, we were hated, man. Everywhere else we went, people didn't like us. We used to go to Calgary on Labor Day and you know, people would flick the fire alarm so we couldn't get sleep at night. People would be out in the streets outside of our hotel chanting so we couldn't sleep at night. Anything they could do to try and disrupt us before we played. And I remember going to Saskatchewan, just coming in there, just the wind, man. The wind coming off that prairie, you just heard it whistling through your window all night long in your hotel room as you tried to get some sleep the night before the game. So I think everywhere we went was a tough place to play, but the place we most enjoyed as a team to play was in Toronto. We loved to go to Toronto because it was considered the big city. Believe it or not, we used to always look forward to going to Wendy's Hamburgers because we didn't have a Wendy's in Edmonton at the time. A lot of guys loved Wendy's, so that's the first place we would go as soon as we got off the airplane. Half the team went to Wendy's.
Oh, man, Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's, would love hearing you say that. By the way, Damon Allen's watching, and he says, my man, moonshine, I knew you were going to say Brian Kelly. So a shout-out from Damon this morning.
I love Damon. You know, I was at Damon's game when he broke the all-time – actually, I think it was my record for passing yards, total passing yards in Toronto, and he had an outstanding career. I've known Damon for a long time. He's made Canada his home, which is great. And I know his brother, Marcus, have known him for many, many years as well. So one of the great football players to play in Canada, no question about it.
Last one, Warren. This one's from me. I got to ask you, you know, you're talking about the finances of the game and helping young players. I got to ask you about your relationship with Lee Steinberg, because I read his book, never met him until he came in here with Vince Young a couple years ago when the Riders signed him. And you can just imagine, the door flew open and it was a tornado of Lee Steinberg and a whole entourage around Vince Young. This guy, because he said, you know, you two made the decision together to come to the CFL, right? Because Lee's like, this is what's best. I mean, and did he not give your induction ceremony speech in Canton? Like, you guys just seem to be too... Yeah.
Yeah, he introduced me, and Lee and I go all the way back to when I came out of college. And like you said, he helped me make the decision to go to Canada. He felt like it was the best thing for me to do at the time, presented the pros and cons of whether I should stay and try and make it in the NFL or go to Canada. And the thing that I was more impressed with, you know, Lee was a pretty high-powered agent after that. And even though I'm up in Canada playing in Edmonton, he never left my side. He always stuck with me. And when it was time for me to come back to the National Football League, he orchestrated the whole free agency thing for me to get all those teams to bid on me. And I became the highest paid player in the league at that time. So He wasn't only a great lawyer and great agent of mine, he's also been a great friend over the years. And he's the one that has kind of developed that philosophy about use sports as a stepping stone for the rest of your life. And that's where I got that from him. And he started preaching that to me from the time I came into the Canadian Football League about what I was going to do with my life after football.
Amazing. The original. You were the original. Show me the money then. Because the movie Jerry Maguire was patterned after Lee Steinberg. Warren, I appreciate the time. So many folks up here were looking forward to this. You did not disappoint, which I knew you wouldn't. Stay safe and hope to see you soon.
Yeah, I'd love to be back on again, and I love my fans up in Canada, and I want to thank them all for all the years of being behind me in my career, and hopefully you guys can get hockey back here real soon, because I know you're dying without it.
There's no doubt. And CFL, too. And there are millions of Warren Moon fans. Thanks, Warren.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll be right back. We got Nick Lewis coming up, CFL receiving king, and super agent Rob Fry, and a sports update on the other side of this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and healthy.
At Capital Ford, we've taken steps to help customers with buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive at home, and let us know when you need servicing.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at CapitalFordLincoln.com.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I just want to lay out the lay of the land. From here to the top of the hour, the rest of hour one, we don't have any more guests scheduled. So we can talk for this hour. We can talk about bringing the viewers here. Fan engagement, as we like to say here, the rest of the way. But lots of comments here on Warren Moon, and we'll get to those. But a sports update. Dan Price is a rarity in receiving a job promotion during the pandemic. The Victoria Royals head coach added the title of general manager Tuesday of the Western Hockey League team. Price, a one-time scout for the Regina Pats, replaces Cam Hope as GM, a two-time West Conference GM of the Year who was fired last month. Chase Elliott gained a measure of revenge against Kyle Busch on Tuesday night and then let him know about it. I'm sure you were following this closely. Elliott snapped Bush's seven-race truck series winning streak and collected a $100,000 bounty at Charlotte Motor Speedway before imitating Bush's victory celebration after the race by bowing to the camera. Talking NASCAR here if you needed subtitles. Bush appeared noticeably upset after the race, but it had nothing to do with the bow. He cursed in an interview with Fox after the race. Bush was upset over a splitter problem that caused problems for his number 51 Toyota all night long.
It's like T.O. doing the Dirty Bird. It's the same thing, right?
The Premier League is on course to restart next month after clubs approved plans early this morning to resume contact training, even as some players are concerned about taking to the field again during the pandemic. The vote by the 20 clubs came after gaining clearance from the government for players to work together as a squad as restrictions are eased across England. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Their kitchen's open and awaiting your order. Call 761-2777 for their hours or visit their Facebook page for their menu. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. These are the comments right in front of my face. Brett Taylor from Moose Jaw writes in, he looks like he could still play, about Warren Moon. Robert Anderson from Toronto watching, he says, that was awesome. I have goosebumps. From Don Degelman, Mr. Moon, a wonderful player and man. From Sherry Petty, the RP show is now over the moon. Stay tuned for more of the RP show after these messages. I'll handle that. I work alone. And from Lee Horton, Mr. Moon, the next CFL commissioner. I would think if Warren Moon wanted to be the commissioner, he could have been the commissioner many times. I like the commissioner we have. So I'm not even going to go down that road. But nice comments about Warren Moon. And the interesting thing about him sitting there from his home in Seattle doing that interview is, as I said in the break, he realized real fast this isn't some Rudy Poo show when you got Damon Allen sitting at home watching and chiming in. And so now Connor in Yorkton, do you know who he is? Like, listen, I understand you can read off 9-time Pro Bowler, 5-time Grey Cup champion, 2-time Grey Cup MVP, all these things. But until you see him in the flesh, doesn't mean as much.
Outside of Tom Brady, is there a player in the NFL today that has reached the Warren Moon status?
Of what?
Of just there is the legendary status. But like, that's how big of a deal he is. I mean,
there's a lot of big deals, man. John Elway, like, Warren Moon never won a playoff game in the NFL. We're talking more of a, which is CFL treasure. I mean, he's still in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys. Peyton's, but all the Eli.
Playing.
What do you mean?
That are playing today.
Oh, today.
Yes, playing today.
I think that all time.
No,
I'm
playing
sorry.
Today. So for, you know, to try and relate it to Connor, that there's not a lot of guys that have the resume that Warren Moon has. You know, Tom Brady, of the players playing today, is the one slam dunk, obviously.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. And I don't want to jump it, but it kind of, you know, your championship thing is the same thing that you were bringing up with the poll question, right?
Which I haven't even mentioned yet. I want to mention it. On Twitter, our Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center daily poll question. The greatest quarterback in CFL history is Doug Flutie, Warren Moon, Ricky Ray, or other. Doug Flutie's out front by quite a bit, 56% of the vote. Warren Moon's next, 34%. Ricky Ray, 7%. Other, 3%. Which tells me I'd nailed the three top ones. You guys mentioned AC. There was somebody else that you guys had mentioned.
Damon, Jeff Garcia.
Right, Damon Allen, Jeff Garcia. I have long thought Doug Flutie was a slam dunk. Shoot, he won league MVP 6 consecutive years with 2 different teams. But it's pretty hard to beat 5 straight Grey Cups. The only thing is, I just stood on the sidelines and watched Doug Flutie in the 90s and just went, whoa. I've never seen anything like this. But I didn't have that opportunity with Warren Moon. Maybe he was doing the same things.
Yeah, probably. Clearly, I mean, to win all those Grey Cups in a row, the Doug Flutie thing, I mean.
On Facebook, Warren Moon's winning, by the way. Just wanted to point that out. On Facebook, Warren Moon's winning the vote.
And Ricky Ray's
on Twitter, Doug Flutie is.
Yeah.
So anyways, I cut you off.
No, another has a slight edge over Ricky Ray on the Facebook poll. But yeah, no, Doug Flutie made you a fan of the Argonauts. just him alone made you a fan of the Toronto Argonauts. Mind you, Damon Allen did that too for me. You know, maybe yep. I like the Toronto Argonauts. Guys can do that. They can. They're bigger than just the games on the field. But yeah, it's an interesting debate for sure. And the all-time leading passer in pro football history doesn't even make the list, right? In Anthony Calvillo, that's how good the list is. I mean, there's so many
very good
great players that have come into the conversation. It's good debate.
I don't think the fans' discussion is any different than the players' discussion in that we've sat around with the players and had these talks. Yeah. It all comes down to rings. The ring is the thing. And that's why with the 13th man in 2009, I was so devastated, not nearly as devastated as Darian was, but I was close for Darian. Because he knew, because he wanted to be the greatest Rough Rider quarterback of all time. CFL. Different matter, but here, and we all know what it's going to come down to, two rings.
Yeah.
And he had to sit and watch while a 16-point lead with 10 minutes to go gets blown out of the water by his teammates. Helpless.
Yeah. And I agree with you on rings at the quarterback position. Everywhere else on the field, I don't think rings plays as big of a factor, but nobody's as instrumental in the outcome of the game as the quarterback. Nobody touches the ball more than the quarterback does, except maybe the center. But it is rings. For a receiver, for a running back, you can't really control what the team around you does. You know, you can't control what the quarterback does or the running back or your other receivers or your defense. And I know the defense, you know, is its own little thing, but the quarterback, more than anybody in hockey or any other sport, controls the game. And I think rings for a quarterback matter more than any other sport championship does to any other player in any other sport, period.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And Warren Moon has five.
In a row.
So, and the other thing is, you know, when we talk about the CFL coming back, it's an interesting time right now where everybody has their own thing that they're focused on in sports. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Players are focused on one thing, coaches on another, fans on another, owners on another, boom, 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 boom. But what we're all going to have to agree on is helping this league out. Because similar to baseball, like I'm ready to never watch baseball again. If these greedy bastards are going to fight over money when you're seeing pay cuts, layoffs, restaurants closing, businesses closing, and you won't take the field if you don't get your $10 million, Blake Snell, and he's just one guy, but he represents a large group of players. I'm just saying the CFL could literally slide off the everybody's radar, too. It could.
Yeah, and to be honest, there's such an opportunity. There's an opportunity for baseball. If they forgot about the money, which you can't forget completely, but if they forgot about the money and played and they controlled the narrative to say, look, this is our pastime. This is what we play growing up. We throw a ball and we hit that ball and literally we just play in the backyard. We're just going to go play because we love the game so much and right now we need a game. They could win the PR and the marketing battle in a landslide.
Yep.
And the CFL can do that too. It's about the love of the game. Look at golf and the match. How much fun that was. That was about the love of golf and trying different shots and helping each other out. When Peyton and more so Tom would shank it into the trees, what do? You know, you got the opponents telling them it's two club lengths and here's where you drop it and just go take your best shot and don't worry about this. And they're playing it for the love of the game because they love being around the guys. And it was so welcomed by everybody. I think sports is a real opportunity here. If you're not going to make money anyway, make the whole narrative about the love of the game, and you could win your fan base back real easy.
Mm-hmm. But it's going to take the help of the Warren Moons and the Doug Flutie's, and we've seen they're all willing to do it
because
what the CFL has meant to them. Shoot, bring in The Rock. Can you imagine the telemiracle is the Saskatchewan term, but it's a, you know, how many hours is 48 hours, 72 hours?
Yeah, something like that.
Telethon. To raise money, bringing all those guys in. We could do it because we'd be worldwide.
Oh, yeah.
Ring those phones. Hey, we got Doug Flutie. Hey, Doug, tell us about your time in the CFL. People would be...
And then all the celebrities...
Donating that, like crazy.
...that were attached to the Argos back in the John Candy Wayne Gretzky era. But then you look at the guys that have attached themselves to the BC Lions, like the Ryan Reynolds and the other stars out there.
Oh, yeah.
And you look
Pam
at
Anderson.
Kim Coates and The Rock. And every team has a connection to stars that would make this really, really cool. An opportunity.
Oh, I think that... you would have no idea who would come out of the woodwork to help the CFL if that's where we're going, which is where I think we are going. Clark's telling me that we need to take a break, so I'm going to save these text messages for after the break on the Prairie Mobile text line. We got some great comments coming in from all over the place. You can write us 306-840-8777. And don't forget to vote on the Twitter poll, Facebook poll as well. The greatest quarterback in CFL history is ... Right now, Doug Flutie leading. I thought the Warren Moon interview would sway people. And maybe it will.
And I think on Facebook it did.
I think it did on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's right. We will be back. It's a Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appell Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, and appreciate everybody hanging in with us today, joining us for coffee. Tim's today, and I've been thinking a lot about our boys from Tim's, Corey and Pat, who came with us to Houston on the sports trip last year, and I do have my fingers crossed that we're going to have an NFL trip this fall, and you saw the Dolphins owner came out again, Mr. Ross, and saying, we're playing, and we're going to fill the stadium.
Yep.
I do get tingles. I'm excited to go to Miami. I got to be honest with you.
I know.
I really am. Oh, Rachel Dom Tassoni writes in, and she says, tough poll question today. Well, thank you. I came up with that one. Who is the greatest quarterback in CFL history? Now, Jeff, the Stamps fan's watching, and he says, on the rings discussion, it's the ring that's the thing. That's why Bo Levi's the best quarterback in the West Division. I'm not going to fight you on that, but when I do the top 10 polls that I do on quarterbacks or any other position, but let's just stick to quarterbacks, my criteria is always this. If I'm starting a franchise, if I'm an expansion team general manager, who's the first guy I'm taking? And that's why I, quite frankly, put Cody Fajardo at the top of the list. Now, I know most GMs don't think about marketing and they don't think about the things that I would factor in with Cody Fajardo. But I also know Jeremy O'Day, the Rough Riders GM, thinks a hell of a lot of him, too, because he's made him the highest paid quarterback in Rough Rider history without winning a playoff game. Mm-hmm. So it's about, in my criteria, and I would suggest expansion teams,
yep.
upside.
I agree.
And I'm not saying he is the best.
Yeah.
But that's my criteria for those lists.
Yeah. And I mean, starting a franchise can mean a couple different things for different people. You might want somebody to win now. You might want somebody for the future. I look at it pretty similarly, but just who do I want? Who do I think is the best going into the season? Warren Moon might be the best of all time, but I don't want him to quarterback my team this season. Because he's passed. He's done. And so Bowe might have the best career. He might go down as the best ever of this group of quarterbacks that are playing in the West right now. But he might not be the guy I want starting this year, right? Because maybe he's played his best football. Maybe the knee's not that healthy. But yeah, that's why you pick Cody for sure. I'm with you on that.
Damon Allen's still watching, and he says they should do that golf event in Canada with Canadian pros and sports figures. Ho, ho, ho. Could you imagine? Damon, obviously, and then Mike Weir and Graham Dillette.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the fourth, as they say in golf terms? It would have to be Clark says Wayne Gretzky. Wayne a golfer?
Yeah.
I think two football guys, two golf guys.
Remember the NHL, Mario, Brett Hall, Gretzky, they'd always play that skins game. There was another in there. So that was always pretty entertaining. I enjoyed watching those, but we don't do that enough anymore.
No.
Not even
Oh,
close.
We would, yeah, because there's too much options on television now.
Yeah.
And that's why the match was so big this past Sunday. There's nothing else on, right? So
that's awesome.
Okay. Maybe that's going to be the poll question tomorrow. Who joins Mike Weir, Graham Dillette, Damon Allen, and boom. I'm not saying it shouldn't be Gretzky. I'm not saying it should be. Damon says Flutie. He's named it himself.
Oh. That would be great.
Ooh. Nick Play says, I'll play. Nick Lewis says, I'll play. Nick, you're just a little too late. You're going to caddy. You're going to drive the cart, Nick. Man. Yes. Well, hey, Nick, come up with your own group. Couple other golfers.
Do a scramble.
This Can we four, do this?
This foursome versus that
Can
foursome.
We do this?
We. Write that down. We can do this.
The new executive assistant is here, Morgan. She's furiously copying notes over there. Oh, Rick Haglund says quarterback factory Edmonton was started by Warren Moon. Yes, it absolutely was. I was going to say he's saying Warren Moon should be the fourth. Robert Anderson in Toronto says Daron Carter should be the fourth. Can you imagine? He'd be kicked off the course.
Yeah. Can he play?
The Asian sensation, Alan the intern, says he will caddy. No, Alan, you can't because you need to wear the mascot outfit. Where is Ricky today, by the way? Ricky the mascot. There he is. There's Ricky the mascot for our viewers peeking out the top of the corner. That is our mascot, Ricky. Swinging this all around. I love how this just went like a major off-ramp to weirdness. All thanks to Damon Allen. Shannon Zebados, gold medal winning goaltender with Team Canada at the Olympics, has tweeted this morning, happy that the NHL will be back, but without fans, how do we expect players to know when to shoot the puck? I have to read it the way she tweeted it. But without fans, how do we expect players to know when to shoot the puck? How will opposing goalies know they suck? Sounds pretty boring if you ask me. A game with no shots on net and overly confident goalies. Ha ha ha. It's funny, but I want to say this right without it coming out wrong. I don't mind watching the games without fans. It doesn't bother me one bit. And when I'm watching hockey, I don't listen to the announcers. I don't hear them because a lot of times I'll be watching sports with my wife and she's like, can you believe he just said that? And I'm like, what'd he say? Cause I'm watching.
You hear
the systems, the breakouts, the power play, everything. I'm not paying attention to any of that. But I understand that I'm a fish swimming upstream against the current my whole life. So I'm not saying I'm right. It doesn't bother me that there's not going to be any fans in any of this. Fair?
You hear?
I've enjoyed the UFC. I've enjoyed the NASCAR. I've enjoyed the match. Everything. Doesn't bother me.
I know.
And a matter of fact, sorry. I'm just now that I'm going, if there were fans adorning the fairway at the match, somebody would have died.
Well,
Phil Mickelson was spraying them into the trees, let alone Tom Brady and Peyton. Somebody would have died, Darren.
I heard Phil saying that this morning, actually. He was on a show in the States, and they were asking him about the match next year and who he'd want to play with. And I guess it's been come out that said, you know, he'd love to play with Michael Jordan. And that would be really cool for the next version of the match. But he said he liked it with no fans, because you got the interaction with the players that you probably never would have had, because there'd be more fan interaction and things like that. It was kind of refreshing. It was nice, and you're right. A fan might have got picked off. I get the announcer thing. You probably hear them, you know, the different tones of the voice. You kind of listen, you know, the goal calls. That's it. But you're not really listening to them. You don't hear the words, right? You hear the tones, the excitement, and it kind of narrates the game a bit, but you're not sitting hanging on every word. You're watching the game, you know, as a hockey guy. Hockey people will watch the game like that and watch the breakouts and see who's on the ice and things like that. But, yeah, I don't know where we were going with this.
Just keep going.
Just
noticed we're not going anywhere?
But no fans. You know, there was somebody actually on Twitter had the kind of similar comment to Shannon Zabados, was said, Every quarantine city needs one fan, somebody just to yell them to shoot the puck on the power play. That's it. That's all they'll do is one guy, you know, yelling shoot the puck. But I like the idea that we had with Sean Simpson. Just play in the old barn with like no seating, like the old Milestone Arena or the old Wynyard Memorial Arena.
The Diesel Dome, we called it.
Okay,
the Diesel Dome.
That would be great. You know, it'd be like pond hockey. You could do that now with no fans, and it would bring that nostalgia back, and it would be really fun.
I'm going to say something really unpopular, and then we're going to break. But this reminds me of I don't care to sit in the fans with in the stands amongst the fans, and the reason is the stupidity and ignorance.
Not for hockey, hockey.
No, for anything. And my season tickets for the Pats this upcoming season are now up in a luxury suite. Friend of mine split them off. It's subletting. If that's illegal, you didn't hear it. You know what I mean? He's selling me seats in his box. I'm like, great, let's do it. Because I remember some guy was sitting behind me at a Pats game, and he was just thought he was Johnny Hockey. He knew everything. But he was an NHL fan. He's like, what am I doing at a junior game? This is a joke. Blah, 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 blah. And there was an offside call, and he turns to his buddy and says, that wouldn't be offside in the NHL. I could have dumped my drink on him. Probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard at a sporting event. Offside's the same in both leagues, right?
Last time I checked.
And you really know something. So my point, here's the only problem. I can zone in on the game. You would appreciate this. But as soon as my wife elbows me and goes, can you believe so-and-so said this? Then I can't hear anything else but what they're saying.
I know.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
I hadn't heard it all for half a game. And now you just, or the screaming kid in the back of the car, I just zone out until it's brought to my attention. And that's all I can hear.
Yeah, you can't unhear it.
Yeah.
That's why you and I get the effect, not even in the press box, standing on the catwalk and watching the game by yourself, or in Moose Jaw in the back corner over the railing where nobody is and just watching the game by yourself. That's always the best place.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Well, my dad taught me how to watch hockey, which I transferred to football, and it is a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next hour, Nick Lewis, Rob Fry, more of this, our poll discussion, and a Canadian sports pro-am. Who would you like to have in it? This proposed by Damon Allen, and I'm not sure we've settled on the participants yet, so just hang on. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday, episode 241 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show continues after the break on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and staying healthy.
At Capital GMC, we've taken steps to help customers who are buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive from home, or let us know if you need service work.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalgmc.ca.
Stay safe,
be kind to each other,
and wash your hands.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.